Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's wrong.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together? Is my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim. I'm Matt Byrne on the board. S&P futures up 25, NASDAQ futures up 113. Everything, even assassination attempts, are bullish these days. Or not it could be, but it is. Money pouring in the system. We got to protect the wealth, which is fine because I have a lot of clients that are doing well with this. But it's really kind of an amazing deal. When do we get the money supply numbers this month? Maybe we get the CPI numbers this month. I don't know. Matt, you might have to give me a little volume here. I'm not hearing myself back. We have an interesting show today. We have Greg Pappas here, as we always do, Jan Flanagan. Kevin's going to call him. We also have Jimmy Lawler, who's a mortgage and especially distressed mortgage expert, to talk about these tax increases that are heading out to areas where people can't really afford them. And the question is, who's on the hook? Because somebody is. I mean, and Jimmy's going to explain all that, how a tax lien gets in front of all other liens. So even banks have to pay the taxes if people just walk away from the place. It's really amazing who the county puts the burden on. But we'll leave that for Jimmy. Greg, what do you think of? I honestly didn't know where the futures would open last night. They opened flat, and of course, as soon as they open flat, then we have to run them up. We've got Apple up almost another $5. Does it think anybody even knows that trading up $5 at $75 billion in market cap more?
That's the banner stock of the entire S&P 500.
Well, I thought it was NVIDIA. Now it's back to Apple.
Well, I mean, Apple was the OG.
Yeah. Well, Tesla, Elon Musk came out and endorsed Trump after the assassination attempt. That's up $10.
And what's it called? His stock.
Yeah, DJT
is up 55%.
Yeah, so, you can't write fiction.
DJT
like
is the new GameStop and meme stock.
Yeah, they
moves 30% at a clip.
Yeah, they make. There's no money. They don't make a dime. What are they? What's their revenue? Something like $500,000.
What's their revenue? Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It's just. I don't know. I hope it keeps going.
Well, now we can at least estimate the market for. Or the value of the presidency.
Yeah, I don't, I'll be perfectly honest, I was pretty horrified about Saturday. I mean, I never was a fan of the man, but I don't want anybody shot, for God's sake. I mean, this is crazy. And
the presidency apparently is worth right around $10 billion.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Well, the more I read about this and the security and the coordination...
Someone really messed up on that security, unless it was on purpose, which is always a possibility.
How do you?
What was the quote? Don't explain something, but when incompetence can explain it.
I mean,
there's not supposed to be people with wide open shots at presidents.
Well, people were pointing them out.
People were pointing exactly.
Then evidently, he walks up there on a ladder. A police officer walks up the ladder after him, sees him. Evidently, he points the gun at the police officer. The police officer scurries back down the ladder, and he turns around. You would think, at the very least, that anybody who is doing police patrol...
If you point a gun at a police officer, don't they shoot back?
Not if they're on a ladder and hit with both hands on the ladder.
Oh.
Pretty hard to do that.
Yeah.
So then he turned and started shooting. And, I have some really simple, stupid questions.
Did they just go to say hello? I mean, they knew he was up there.
How does, if you're a policeman on the grounds there and you're part of the unit, how do you not be able to communicate to somebody else and say, hey, there's a bleep on the roof, stand down over there for 20 minutes so we get this guy or something? How does that guy not be able to coordinate with anybody?
Well, you'd imagine the security plan would start months before when they're scouting locations.
He's been here before. What is this thing anyway? It's some kind of a... I mean, it's not like a high school football field. It's some sort of a... They use it for what? Like county fairs and stuff or what?
I don't know. But you'd imagine that it would be very easy to see somebody camped out with an open line of sight. I mean, everything about that setup is a little strange. That's a lot of incompetence, or it's just on purpose. Who knows?
I don't know what... This is weird because Kevin and I, obviously, and Jan Flanagan have been talking about it all weekend. Part of me is, shall we say, jaded. Because if you ever read the book, The Day of the Jackal?
No. What's that?
It's Forsythe, one of those guys.
Oh, cool.
But it had to do with a guy who was trying to assassinate De Gaulle. There were a lot of people, sort of the same kind of politics as here, actually. With De Gaulle, what do you want to call it, denutted or closed the French Foreign Legion. They were in Africa and all these places, and they were like a external colonization kind of group, for lack of a better term. And, boy, I don't even know what a definition. Well, I mean, I want you to look up, actually, with the French Foreign Legion, how it got started and something. But Jan Flanagan probably knows when he calls in. But, anyway, De Gaulle disbanded the French Foreign Legion. And those guys were all pissed off at him, right? So there was all these assassination attempts on De Gaulle, and they always missed the guy. They shot. That's why he loves Citroens, because they shot at him a Citroen, and the bullet didn't go through the window, so he'd only ride in a Citroen like the rest of his life or something.
Yeah.
They finally, all the chatter among these groups stopped, and they hired this assassin guy, the Jackal, where they found him, and French, all of a sudden when the chatter stopped, they kidnapped one of the guys and tortured the hell out of him. And he said something about a fair foreigner. They had hired a fair foreigner. That's all they got out of him. And so all of a sudden they put their best policeman on the job and gave him full carte blanche to do whatever he wanted. This kind of crusty Frenchman dude. And he's after the guy. And they thought they tracked him down because there was a... What you can do, and maybe you can still do it, you walk into a cemetery and you find a grave where the kid might have lasted a day or two.
Oh, a grave? When?
Where the person in the grave was like a day old or 2 days old or a year old or something.
Okay.
And then you go and get, if they're somewhat the same age as you, you go and get their birth certificate and you take that identity.
What? Okay.
This happens, evidently. It can happen. So this guy stole this identity and they were convinced they knew who the guy was in Britain.
Huh.
But it turns out he was. My point is, not to tell everybody about the book, but this guy wanted to kill De Gaulle. So he spent months looking for all the different places De Gaulle was going to go speak and finding a spot where he had a line of sight, and then there's a building. He had to build. This is months of incredible labor,
right,
to be able to do this. So Kevin and I are convinced that the idea of a dumb 20-year-old walking up on a place right across the street from a guy and shooting him,
doesn't seem very likely.
But it's
unless
also,
it came from the inside.
But it's also the hardest thing to protect against. The lone wolf assassin. It's one guy you can't...
It's hard to protect against the... I mean, everybody who saw him, though. Is that...
Plus, how do you...
You can't just kill people.
I have some really stupid questions. If I decide I want to go get a AR-15, of which, by the way, there's 20 million in this country, which I saw that, and I'm like, I'm moving to Ireland or someplace. Oh, this is crazy. But how exactly do you practice 150 and 200-yard shots? I mean, are there ranges where people can go out with these things? I mean, if you're in Arizona or New Mexico, I get it. There's plenty of places out there that have these big gun groups and stuff. How in Pennsylvania, how the hell do you practice a 200-yard shot? I mean, what do you shoot at? I hope somebody doesn't walk in the line in the middle, or maybe you don't care.
Yeah, I'm not positive on... He doesn't look like the type who was a marksman.
Well, you know what?
He
pointed the gun at the policeman, turned and fired, and
He had the explosives, and he was explosives expert too, because he had the explosives in his car.
Yeah, the kid's 20 years old, and he was a total nerd in high school.
Yeah,
nobody liked him, and somehow he gets this gun.
That's a shocker.
Plus, the guy's he has no Facebook page of any sort where he's lobbing off bad stuff. He's a registered Republican, and they can't find anything about the guy, at least that they're telling us.
Yeah, that's
which is another.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But the fact is, the guy got pretty close, and he killed somebody, and two other people are dangling. You know, it's pretty horrible.
what's his name's nephew, the doctor, right? The guy who ran for Senate after he was Trump's doctor. Didn't his nephew get shot?
I thought the guy who got killed was the former fire chief or something in the area.
Yeah, that was the fire chief guy, and then Ronnie Jackson's nephew, I think, got shot.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, people who got shot were to Trump's left and down, right?
He...
Because the bullet came from over his right ear. It came from the right and behind.
They were saying 3 o'clock, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been to his left and down a little bit, I think. Ugh. Just, you know, pretty awful stuff. You know, I mean, when you think about it, I still am convinced, but, you know, maybe when Trump now gets into office, if he gets in, maybe he'll open up the Kennedy files.
Well, just as an FU to...
Well, just...
To the CIA or whatever.
I mean, does anybody really think that Sirhan Sirhan... How did he walk into a place with a gun and blast Bobby Kennedy? Or how did this guy walk up to Reagan in the street? I mean, one of it is the lone gunman, I guess, that you never heard about is the hardest guy to protect against. But you also wonder, how would any planning or anything else these people do this stuff? When like I said, I should never have read the book, because it sure seems like you need some...
Right.
So a lot of planning to do this. You can't just, I think I'll go shoot this guy. Yeah, I know he's in this hotel. I just grab a gun and walk down State Street. Oh, there he is. Blast. It seems odd, doesn't it?
Oh, no.
I mean, although, you know, one night I was...
Why can't we all just get along?
Oh, we can't do that. One night we were up at the LaSalle Club back when they had the bar open. The bar looked down on right on the Eisenhower, right?
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been in that bar, but it looks right down east on the expressway.
Yeah.
So it's actually got a great view of all that stuff. So when Obama got elected, he was doing his transition stuff here in the building down here. Well, it wasn't the Mannheim building. It was one of those buildings over there. They were doing the transition team thing. So every night, you'd see his motorcade go back to Hyde Park. And every night...
Oh, so you knew where he was going to be.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying every night... They put two policemen went across the expressway, so they closed the expressway for like a couple of minutes, and they pulled out of whatever street it was, State Street or LaSalle or something, and they would pull down the expressway on the way to Hyde Park, basically, right? So there was nobody ever next to him or anything, and they only had to close the expressway for, I'm going to say, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, just to clean up those few blocks. And once his motorcade, which was 3-4 cars, it wasn't like some huge thing, got on there. He just went down and drive to Hyde Park. Well, one night,
so he had police escorts
just to keep people away from him. And he had a couple guys, you know, from front and behind him in the motorcade.
Yeah,
it was like 4 cars. It wasn't like 20 or anything. So one night, all of a sudden, the police don't show, and his motorcade pulls out kind of into traffic. And all of a sudden, there's a million cars around him. Now, how would you know that was the night the policemen weren't going to?
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, one night I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, somebody's going to get fired over this one. I wonder if they did. Well, the two police cars that usually would come out on the red light.
Maybe there was a change of schedule.
Like something, maybe it was earlier or late, but it seemed like it was at the same time.
Oh.
And, it was in a half hour, it wasn't the exact minute, but obviously they stopped working at 6:30 or whatever, and out they went. And one night, all of a sudden, there's all these cars around them, but, nobody had a... AR-15 at the time, or maybe what if one of those guys just happened to have one? Imagine the conspiracy there. Where was that cop? Where was he? I mean, who got to him? You can only imagine what would it, how the hell the one night that somebody had a gun next to him happened the same night that these guys forgot to close off the expressway.
Well,
I mean,
maybe you're waiting for your attempt. You've got a certain
amount
of
another.
Days. There's probably a month or two in between. And you're just counting the days.
Well, you have to be amazingly practiced and dedicated to do that.
Yeah. It's not likely that just a Yahoo, 20-year-old Yahoo, is Audrey skilled
had,
enough.
Maybe. Audrey had this...
Was he special forces?
I don't know. Audrey had these friends of hers, and I hope they're still alive. Black couple on the east side, and the guy was an incredible photographer, and the lady did something like you guys do. She did catering. And boy, talk about a dinner we had over there. Oh, God, it was some kind of fish thing, whatever, kind of lobster and stuff in there. God, was it good.
All right.
And so the guy is showing me this picture, and he took a picture off, the point down by on 63rd Street.
Yeah.
He takes this picture in the morning. The sun comes up right behind the sailboat. It was the most beautiful thing you ever saw. I said to him, how the hell did you happen to catch that. And guess what he says?
He knows the guy goes there every morning and he sits there.
He said 60 days of waiting.
60 days, huh?
Then I sat there in the morning until finally I got the sun up and the picture, and there it was.
Wow.
60 days of waiting. So it's hard for me to get that. I'll just walk in with this gun and head for the roof and hope nobody's
in the way. It says David Dutch was a Pennsylvania State Police, and James Coppenhaver are both in stable condition. Former Fire Chief Corey Comparator was the one who was killed.
Are we thinking three bullets, or is this a Kennedy bullet that went through all four people?
I don't know.
He must have got off three shots, I would think, at least.
Yeah, you could kind of hear the shot, so.
And then somebody nailed him, some sniper on another building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I feel awful for these people. I'm glad Trump's all right.
If he didn't twist his head there at the end.
Oh, I know.
That would have been.
Well, at the end of the. I'll give you the end.
I think
of
he goes.
Yeah.
He was reading some stat or something, or wanted to. And he jerked his head, and that was enough for to miss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was. Well, I might as well tell the end of the book. If anything else, the guy finally makes it in the jackal to the spot, and he had a gun that he.
I mean, up here is pretty good sight lines. I gotta say, you could see the motorcade or whatever.
Well, you can nail anybody in the expressway from here.
Yeah.
But I don't think a bullet goes through one of those windows, not from this distance. Anyway, so the guy gets the shot at De Gaulle. Right, and De Gaulle's hand putting a letter. It's a medal ceremony. So he puts the medal on this guy, and he shoots.
Yeah.
It just is De Gaulle, as the French do, they like to kiss you on the cheek. De Gaulle bends down and kisses the guy on the cheek, and the bullet missed him.
Whoops.
And he goes, it was the first shot he had missed in 20 years or something.
Whoops.
And before he had time to come up with the second one, the police guy barged in and shot him.
Yeah.
But people move, right? How long does it take? I mean, 150 yards. How long does it take the bullet to get there? It's got to take 4 or 5 seconds.
We could.
3 seconds?
We could do some quick math, right?
Well, I cannot. So I'm reading on this. I go on an AR-15, and the thing is effective with two different kinds of bullets, the 400 to 450 yards, maybe even as much as 600. But if you get this other kind of bullet, you can go even further. God's sake, there's 20 million of these things out there? I don't even. I know two people that have them, too. And it's like, I actually held one of them.
An AK has a muzzle velocity of 1,600 miles per hour.
Wow.
So that's when it comes out.
How quick does it decay? Not very fast, I don't think. It's got to have a rifle.
This says modern rifles have muzzle velocities of over 1,200 meters per second with high-velocity cartridges. So that's even faster.
So you got there in a second.
A 9mm would have a. The same 1,300 miles per hour.
Yeah, but it degrades a lot quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what? Any? Obviously, the market doesn't seem to have never even happened, according to the market. What do you think's going on here? Every single day, except for the one we go up, and I knew we were going to be up the next day that day, so we actually did pretty good for people. Actually, we had a terrific week. So, it's, I mean, it.
What, with volatility coming down, that's. That means the market is very content with whatever's going on and full steam ahead.
I don't know if you caught any part of the show last week.
It just means insurance, the price of insuring, your portfolio is getting cheaper and cheaper because more people.
As it goes higher and higher, which is exactly the opposite of what happens in like car insurance and stuff.
Right.
But that's what happens in the market. When it gets higher, people are. And when it's way down to where you're like, you can't go any lower, then you'll find the price of insurance is at its highest. It's like exactly the opposite as you would think.
Something about emotion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's put it this way. What do you think about the valuations? I can't even comprehend the valuations. They're so high.
I think that responsible individuals probably have, more significant parts of their either market cap or net worth. In cash.
Oh, no. No way.
Yeah.
It's going up by what I get out. I mean, that's... You're not talking like a retail trader. You're talking like a professional trader.
Well, and how about just business people?
I'm going to say, out of all the people that own Apple stock, 0.1% will lighten up after it's up $40 in 3 weeks, 5 weeks.
I think Buffett and the other kind of managers are...
These are not retail people.
Hmm.
We're talking about professional.
Buffett's not a professional?
I'm saying he's a professional.
Oh, he's a professional.
Yeah,
I mean, if you've made, you know, what does it take to make $100? I don't know, $1,000?
Not if you're in the right stock.
If you're in the right stock, you need less of it. So
maybe if you're in Trump stock today, you need $100 to make $100.
Exactly. So, I mean, in my tiny head, you would want a smaller position in that because you can make the same amount of money with less capital. But I don't know.
You're obviously not, you know, you're not, what's going up, it's up by one end.
I mean, you could pile in. That would.
We're talking about an entire generation. See, now you trade soybeans and all this stuff in your lifetime, even though you're not that old. You've seen up, down, all kinds of places. We're talking about people who have never seen a down. Or if you do, it's a couple of days, it's a massive buying opportunity. Look at last week. We had that one horrible down day. All was the buying opportunity. We went straight up the next day. Great.
Eat like bird, something like elephant.
Yeah, well. But, I mean, you're talking about, you know, and I sympathize. Greg, it's, when I came on the trading floor, IBM was end of 1980. Well, 1978, all these guys talked about 1978, where literally IBM never closed above 260, ever. And you only had options every 3 months back then, let alone every day or
every
week.
Daily options. Yeah. It's fine.
So when the IBM, the new options came out, people would sell the 260s. And the slang was, sell the 260s and buy a Mercedes.
Wow.
And literally, people would go there and say, a Mercedes cost at that time, you know, 20 grand. And I need to sell this many.
Sell,
oh, by the way,
sell
I want
this many.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I wouldn't want a radio, so I better sell, you know, the nice radio. So people would do it. And the 1 week, and on Wednesday morning, they were at a teeny, at a 16th. They closed at $16.
Whoa!
And to say that the floor was decimated, not a lot of people bought cars that much. S&P futures up 29. And NASDAQ futures up 124. That's about our number, $30 a day in the Spider and $150 or so in the NASDAQ, so we're already there. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. I think most of you know that I'm also the Chief Investment Officer at PTI Securities and Futures. There we invest for and help a wide variety of clients. And you know what? No two are the same. Some have legacy stocks, some concentration issues, some maybe embedded tax issues. The others might need or want some portfolio protection. There could be estate issues or maybe new family members. The point is that we are all unique and the portfolios should match. However, the last several years have seen a relatively one-way market. It seemed that all we needed was to be all in. No protection, no fixed income, just be all in, no matter who you are, what your risk profile or age. Most management firms love that. Take this and like it, no matter who you are. Be careful with that. You are not everybody. I think most see the market view going forward as maybe different than the one looking back, so your portfolio should reflect that. Maybe it's just as simple as your life station has changed. Towards that end, we are accepting some new clients needing a more personal approach and are interested in negotiating the future and not with a portfolio designed for the past. Find me at 312-663-4310. That's 312-663-4310.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom. I'm Matt Byrne on the board. Greg Pappas in studio. S&P futures up 28. S&P futures up 121. The Dow up 250. In the Dow, we've got Apple up almost $5. Again, $75 billion. We got Goldman Sachs up 352. They had earnings. Home Depot up 222. And so Home Depot's got to be up, what, almost $20 since there might be a rate cut. So that means if they cut a quarter point, I have to assume that everybody's credit card rate is going to go down, what, 5% or not at all? I'm going to say not at all, but that would just be me. Over in Europe, we have the DAX down 73.4%, FTSE down 23.3%, CAC around down 49.6%, so they're kind of the other way, which is a little odd. Asia, Nikkei down 1,033, that's 2.5%, but still 41,190 as they've been pouring money into the system there. Hang Seng down 277, but still hanging over 18,000 of the big rally on Friday, 18,015. Shanghai, which has been doing nothing, is up $2, so call it flat again today at 29.74. That thing is, boy, I talk about stuck. On Friday, we had the Dow was up 247, S&P up 30, NASDAQ up 115. We got back. We had gotten back way more than we were down Thursday, and then on the close, gave away maybe half of it in the last 20 minutes. Real strange on Friday. I mean, the NASDAQ was up like 250 and it closed up 115. It was really weird. Bonds up 4 basis points, 4.23. The Bund unchanged, 2.50. Japan down 3 basis points, 106. Oil down 12 cents, but still upper end of the range, 82.09. Brent down 12 cents, 84.91. Greg, should I start saying this is a new range oil? I keep saying it's the upper end. I mean, is this a new range?
You can buy the dip.
Buy the dip.
Yeah.
It's down 12 cents.
Yeah, that's the dip.
That's the dip. Natural gas down 5 cents, 227. RBOB down a penny, 250. Gold up 350, 24.24. Silver down 9 cents, 31.07. Copper down 3 cents, 455. Bitcoin, which has been pretty volatile lately, is up volatile again today. It's up $2,490, 62,460. That's a 4% move in there. And foreign exchange, which has really been jumping around as well. At the euro 109, as the dollar continues to go down, and the British pound at 129.7, I have a feeling that we're pouring money into the system. What do you think? Duh.
Do it.
Do it. We're anybody who says that the Federal Reserve now is worried about unemployment and inflation, I think you might have to reconsider that. I'd say they're worried about maintaining the wealth bubble. And maybe it's not a bubble. I mean, if you're wealthy, it's not. Hurry up and spend it. Matt, what do you got for us? Travy Weather Sports.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It is currently July 15th at 6:38 a.m. As far as weather in Chicago, it's 70 degrees this morning. Humid with some sunshine today. A high of 90 degrees overall. Tonight, though, scattered thunderstorms. Down in Phoenix, 88 degrees right now. Expect sunny skies today and a high of 108, low of 87. In the MLB yesterday, White Sox lost to Pittsburgh Pirates 9-4. Cubs win against St. Louis Cardinals 8-3. And tonight is the Home Run Derby, part of MLB All-Star Week. The competition starts at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
Real quick story. I actually went to the Home Run Derby when the All-Star game was at Sox Park.
Oh, wow.
And we had great seats. We were in like the 10th row. But all the cool guys were on the field. And we were in the good schlump seats, but still the schlump seats. Mm. But everybody who was cool was down on the field. Mm. And you know, you had who was the absolutely drop dead gorgeous softball pitcher? Whatever year that
was. Jenny Finch.
Yeah, she was out there doing like with the camera and with the microphone, and she's attractive from like a long way away. So she's interviewing everybody. Which it must have been like her first gig. So she was asking people the exact same questions. So she runs into, who's the quarterback? The guy's on commercials all the time. Tells his name. You know what I'm talking about. It was the insurance and everything else, commercials. Not the guy from Kansas City. Guy retired.
Gronk?
No. The brother played too for New York Giants. Why am I going to fog on this guy's last name? Anyway, so you know what I'm talking about, Greg. The two brothers played, and this guy's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer.
Kelsey?
No, he won two Super Bowls, or three. Denver. Peyton Manning. So she walks up to Peyton when he was younger. She goes, "So, Peyton, what do you think of your first All-Star experience?" And Peyton Manning goes, "Well, it's not really my All-Star experience. I just have a buddy who's got me here, and I'm just kind of hanging around on the field." And she's all of a sudden, she goes, "No, seriously, what do you think of your first All-Star experience?" He goes, anyway, but he just says, he was real nice. He goes, "No, it's kind of not mine. I'm just sort of hanging around, having a beer."
That's when he decided to become a broadcaster.
I guess, but anyway, well, I wouldn't mind her coming up and interviewing me, but she did not come up into the seats for that. Do we have Kevin or John?
We do indeed.
We have the both of them? The both of them?
That's right.
The both of us, yes.
Good morning, all.
As they say on the South Side, the both of us. Guys, what market? It's like nothing ever happened Saturday. And I think that was, I mean, how does anybody not think that's absolutely horrible? I didn't know whether the spoons were open down or up, but like not even, it's like nothing ever happened. I don't think
they're thinking he's going to get elected.
I read something. I
think because he survived it, nothing really changed.
Yeah, it's not like Eisenhower's heart attack in 55, where there was great doubt about, then, you know, that's kind of a benchmark in, you know, stock market history when it took a dive. But this was, in some sense, the opposite, I think.
But he was already president.
Yeah.
And in those days, there was virtually no history of heart attacks being treated successfully.
Right.
And he came back from it pretty much. I don't think there was much treatment. There was no, not like he had a, surgery to, you know, no stent surgery or anything. No stents or anything like that. He just recovered, right?
Right.
Well, how much we were down?
Convalescence.
We were down. One of the biggest days in the market was Kennedy's assassination. It was down like 5 or 6 or 8%, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was down as much as Eisenhower's heart attack, though. They were both big days in the market. But it wasn't on a Saturday. I mean, and, you know, we had the whole weekend to realize the guy was going to be okay. Well,
that's true.
Well, okay, I don't know how you ever recover from how close that was. I mean, I don't care who you are. Even Trump has got to feel like, what the hell? That was about as close as it gets. I mean, I maybe he hasn't even come to grips with how close it was yet, and he's just thinking about it. But, I mean, he's got to be thinking for that every day the rest of his life. I feel sorry for the guy. I mean, shit. That's about as bad. I don't know. I mean, this idea. Then I read there's 20 million of these guns out there, and that made me feel good.
Tom, you have to think, and Kevin, you know, you think back to the exquisite timing of a couple of the, you know, assassination attempts anyway, or successful ones, with Bobby Kennedy in 68. You know, it was minutes after he was had won the California primary and given the speech saying, now it's on to Chicago, the convention. I think if he hadn't won the primary, he may still be alive today.
Well, I never once believed that would just happen to be some guy wandering by with a gun.
Sir, according to the eyewitnesses, which is, you know, firing in every direction, but RFK, and he was the bullet that you know killed RFK was apparently fired from 2 inches from his head. So it was somebody on the ground, you know, close to him, in the crowd, you know, pushing and shoving, was able to completely mask the fact that the person had a gun and was able to, you know, shoot Kennedy by getting that close to him. And it was easy to pin it on a patsy like Sirhan Sirhan, just like it is with this guy Crooks, too. I mean, I'm going to link them up as being the same kind of political hit. You know, 48 hours before the start of the Republican convention, the effect of had this attempt been successful. I mean, you think the Democrats are in trouble right now with trying to get a candidate or a slate together? It would have been the same thing for the Republicans, and the convention would have been open season, and God knows who would have been pushed to the front.
But how
by
would,
what means?
Chad, if you were a a conspiracy guy and wanted to take out Trump, how the hell would you find this kid?
Oh, Thomas, you know, I don't know how they'll trace this guy's activities and so on, but the fact that they found him so fast through DNA.
Well, they had him right, they had the body right there.
But I mean, how did they link it up to who he was?
Well, he didn't have any IDs on him, allegedly. Of course, this is what we know.
So, but I mean, they knew exactly who he was. Maybe they knew him under another name. He knew somebody else.
Actually, who identified him? Who was it?
Well, that's important too. You know, and how is what I'm concerned about. If you know, I ended up dead on the street, and some person who was an Ancestry.com subscriber got my DNA, you might be able to match it up with your DNA, access on Ancestry. But if I didn't have an ID with me, it would take a while to figure out who I was. Well,
I was on, if you listened earlier, I was talking to Greg about the one night that I saw the Obama motorcade. The guy's pretty much forgot to close off the expressway. I mean, I think if you, me thinking like an assassin, which I'd be the world's worst assassin. But you would think that if you were a lone wolf guy, you'd have to have a full schedule, and you'd have to kind of always sort of be around looking for an opening. I don't know how you can, if you do it just once, how could you be that, quote, lucky? That's a bad term, but how could you be that fortunate that, hey, there's a building, there's a ladder? How many buildings have a ladder to the roof, for God's sake?
Well, I mean, in the video that you just sent around, Kevin, I saw, here you've got practically a separate spectator sport on Saturday of people watching this guy on the roof and pointing him out. It was a total distraction from what was going on with the speech, and there were so many people who knew about this. And the other video that is shot from behind Trump and to his right that shows the Secret Service positioning themselves and waiting for a cue. The cue seems to be the first shot that was fired, and then they spring into action. Those guys and girls should have been up on the platform to pull Trump down during the speech if they saw there was a threat that they couldn't protect.
Jan, how long after he started talking did this happen? Was it right away?
Minutes. Not even minutes. I mean, it's very, very brief. I didn't see the beginning of the event, so I don't know precisely how long, but all the accounts said it was shortly after.
Well, this area is designed for what? Kevin, you did answer that yesterday.
Oh, it's a county fairgrounds.
Okay. With like buildings
it's
that you'd have.
County fairgrounds, but the thing, Tom, that I sent to you also talked about, or also showed that there's a little airstrip there. So that makes it a place for businesses to, that use air freight to, a handy spot. So that's the company, where he was on top of their, on their roof. Is probably located there because it's a really great location if you are, and they do some kind of components. I don't remember what they were, but they're industry specific. But if you're going to air freight things out, that's a great place to be. Otherwise, it's a pretty typical county fairgrounds. You have some buildings on the premises. You have some buildings, kind of scattered around where people can go in and out. But you also have some, open space where, they'll have, anything ranging from, horse riding competitions to, things like pig races.
So where he was is where you'd have the rodeo, basically.
There's a lot of open space there. I don't know if they have rodeo there, but there are always outdoor things.
But there's some buildings there other than just where you keep the horses and where the bathrooms are, because it is airstrip.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of a combined use area.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was almost transferred to Butler, Pennsylvania, when I worked at Pullman. I'm glad I didn't go. Doesn't look like they're going to kill people there. I don't want to be there.
You don't want to be where they kill presidents or presidential candidates.
Or the former fire chief. That poor guy had a rough day.
Yeah, he did.
So are we thinking three shots is the number, or some missed everybody?
Go ahead.
Go, John, because I had heard more than three. I heard he fired off seven shots, but I don't know how many were retaliatory shots or what.
Yeah, some accounts said three shots from supposedly the guy, you know, Crooks, and then five shots that, you know, weren't apparently not directed at the stage, but at the shooter. So those might have been the sniper's firing. But, you know, most accounts seem to say around eight shots in two different segments. You know, so there's three and then a space, and then there's five shots to wrap the succession. But, you know, this is one of the confusing things.
Did you see what Thomas Massey tweeted out about this?
No, what did he say?
So Thomas Massey, and then I think the Trump supporters got on top of it because Vivek Ramaswamy retweeted what Massey said. So Massey, big libertarian, said, "The same bureau that investigated the Las Vegas shooting and the January 6th pipe bombs is now investigating the attempted assassination of Trump. This is also the same bureau that raided Mar-a-Lago. I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of this soon."
Well,
you
would like to think that someplace, somewhere in these bureaucracies, there are people with talent. Now the question is, can those people ever get to the top?
Well, did you see the interview of Tim McCarthy?
I thought that was pretty funny.
Tim McCarthy's here. Is he? What's he doing now? Wasn't he the police chief out
Orland?
Yeah.
Well, before that, he was in the Secret Service detail the day Reagan
shot. Right. He got shot, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's now retired from Orland Park, and he was being interviewed by WGN the night of the assassination, I think again on Sunday. But you could tell he was really choosing his words very carefully. He's very well spoken, even when he's trying, you know, to be, you know, careful. But he said that there clearly was a breach of Secret Service protocol, because they asked him what is the Secret Service's approach to things like this, and there hasn't been an attempt like this in 43 years
that we know of. We don't know if they caught anybody,
anybody wants to talk about. But how did this unfold, and what was there any, you know, anything, you know, that they should have done or could have done before this, or did they just follow what their training is? And he said there had to have been a breach, and there was a breach in protocol. All these surrounding building rooftops, you know, with clear shots, should have been secured. There should have been people stationed on them or near them to prevent the kind of thing that happened. And he says, without, you know, accusing his colleagues or compatriots, that somebody screwed up. And, you know, I would say I'd rather think that there was a compromise of the system than we just have a bunch of rum dumps in it, although it could be both. Apparently Jill Biden, the first lady, got the cream of the Secret Service detail on Saturday, and they put the second tier, you know, to, you know, work with the problem.
Well, it was a local guy. It's a local guy that went up the ladder, saw the guy. The guy pointed a gun at him and went back down the ladder. How is that guy not hooked in by voice saying, shut this thing down?
Exactly.
Well, the police aren't the Secret Service.
Was clearly watching that guy. And they wanted him to get the shots off, and then they took.
Yeah, nobody wanted to go that far.
What else is it?
Well, I think they just. We don't know what
they're
happened.
They're supposed to be ahead of the game, so I'm not behind.
I get that. I just wonder how much of it is.
What if you shot the gun instead of the person preemptively?
Well, I think the guy, the cop, had both hands on the ladder. He couldn't pull his gun out. He just got out of the way, so he didn't get shot.
But the snipers knew about this guy without that cop having to go up there.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I mean,
I have no criticism for that cop, depending an understanding of what he did afterwards, and was he on radio, what all did they have? Somewhat unrelated nugget is, much ado has been made about this kid being a registered Republican.
That doesn't mean anything. It just means he...
It doesn't, especially when you consider that 2 years ago the Democratic Party was urging people to register as Republicans and vote for Dr. Oz so that they could run against him.
Yes. Yeah,
well, I mean, he could
and
be...
People do it all the time when you have to declare, depending on what you think your candidate's chances
are. How many people in Chicago take the Democratic ballot that are Republicans just because there's nobody on the Republican ballot?
Of course.
So, I mean, that's... I think they have to report that, but that doesn't... Anybody who's got a brain cell working realize that doesn't mean anything.
No, and at best he's voted maybe in a local election. He hasn't voted in the presidential.
Well, he could have voted in the primary.
Well, yeah, anybody with a brain cell says it doesn't mean anything, which didn't stop Eric Swalwell from...
of course, yeah. Well, nothing stops him.
Well, I was treated, unfortunately, to listening about this on Newsmax. Every single person. They couldn't go 30 seconds without some sort of dribble. And just tell everybody what happened. They put one guy in there, this younger dude, and I couldn't believe what the guy was saying. He goes, you know, I do a show on Newsmax, and I perfectly admit that I call Biden potato head, and he rattled off like four other horrible things to say about the president. But I'm telling you, that's not mean or anything like that. Now, the guys who come after Trump are mean. I'm sitting there going, just insulted the living bleep out of the guy. And you do it every night. And you're telling me that's not... What do you... I'm sitting there listening. I said, this guy needs to go home and listen to himself. And they had three people on... yesterday I was watching. It was a... Who's the guy who's the head of the Republican convention guy? Phoebus? You know who that is, John or Kevin? Is it Richard Phoebus?
Rince Priebus?
Oh, Rince Priebus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on with this... black lady who was on the Democratic side, and there was another lady who was kind of the press person.
This is on Newsmax?
No, this was on CNN or something. And when the black lady's like, she goes, Rance Priebus is my friend. We talk about the conventions. He tells me what he's doing at his, and I tell him what we're doing at ours, and how you get delegates in, and how you do the security. She goes, just because there's people bitching about the different platforms and stuff doesn't mean you go start shooting people. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, she goes, it's just another party. It's a political thing. It's not life and death. What's wrong with everybody? And Priebus is like, yeah. She goes, beneath the party part, a lot of people in the party. I mean,
on both sides, they talk about how it's the end of the republic if the other guy gets
elected. He goes, we talk every day about how we're coordinating these conventions and how. If somebody has a really good idea of security in their place and the other person knows about it, and how you get the delegates in and out, because we talk every day. Because, the other lady says, she goes, we've gotten this so far, she says, that probably with this happening, this is her call, she goes, probably the politicians, the Trumps and the Bidens, will be smart enough to tone it down. She goes, but there's no way today's press can tone it down. They're just not set up for that, either side. I thought that was a pretty awful statement, but I think she's probably pretty right.
I think the Democrats are going to start ramping it up, even within their own party, because they've got a bigger problem. They've got the Republicans have a candidate that seems to look as if people are coalescing behind, and we'll know more after this week, after the nominating process. But the Democrats don't trust the guy at the top, and you've got Obama and other people behind the strings doing everything possible to embarrass and get rid of this guy, and he's not going to go.
Did you read, I can't believe this is true, some latest poll has Kamala Harris won against Trump and winning easily. I can't believe it's true.
Please, let's be Kamala Harris's personal poll. She called up everybody on her own.
That's what I'm saying. Polls today mean nothing to me. I mean, the polls were, the Brexit was going to lose too, right? There hasn't been a poll right in a while. It is kind of a total free-for-all, right now. Anyway, I'm just...
Well, it is, but I don't think Biden's going to drop out. And if he doesn't drop out, there isn't anything else that can happen.
Well, if he ends up getting forced out late, that's no good either. I think Mike Quigley's got the best idea. Get out early so we can actually have a legitimate... selection is somebody new. We can have some kind of a primary or something where a lot of new names are in the hat.
John Cass has an interesting point in his column today where he says somebody is going to leak the Robert Hur interview of Joe Biden that Merrick Garland has gone incredible lengths to prevent from being released, and they released a transcript version of it. But if pieces of that come out and show that Biden is even more incompetent than he appeared in the debate and in the press conference and in these awful performances the last couple of days, I can't watch it. Even when he's reading, he's missing about half the text or misreading it.
And yeah, you like the battle box, by the way?
Oh.
Yeah, we resolve our differences at the battle box.
I mean, well, I started talking about the former Trump last night. I thought, okay, that's it. I've turned the channel off.
Oh, good. It's a...
But the Battle Box actually would be a pretty good name for a fantasy football team.
Hey, on a good note, because we might as well have one, is this there a chance we're seeing a Hall of Fame player in this Pete Crow Armstrong, Kevin? That kid's
way too early for that.
I know, but boy, he is the top of the gene.
He's got to show he can hit, but man, is he a good center fielder.
I mean, I you ever seen anybody that fast? Other than Willie Davis might be the only guy I ever saw was that fast.
Oh, a lot of people are saying he's the fifth fastest player in the major leagues right now. Ellie De La Cruz is you've seen him, Cincinnati shortstop. He's incredibly fast as well. But yeah, I think PCA is only 22 years old. And he just turned 22, so he is not, he is not the player he's going to be. He really needs a little more discipline about what he swings at the plate. But he doesn't seem to be inclined to chase in the Javi Baez mold, or for that matter, Christopher Morel mold.
I think he's coachable, very coachable.
Yeah, I think he just gets fooled by major league pitching a lot.
Well, I think we would too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, that's something where you can adjust over time.
Well, I'm saying in terms of the gene pool, though, the kid is blessed. I mean, that catch he made in right center, he was playing the guy to pull. He covered, what did he cover, 100 yards, for God's sake?
He may be blessed. I don't know where he gets it, though. Both of his parents are actors.
Well, maybe they act at being fast, and he just,
That could be it.
God. But anyway, it was nice to see that, a bunch of home runs. Boy, how brutal has it had to be in that stadium? The place was half full by the fifth inning. I mean, St. Louis, if the weather here was brutal, what about there? Remember this is the new stadium, so it's better. The old one was what was the name of the old one, Kevin?
The old one was horrible.
Was that Busch Stadium?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. John, if you remember, that thing had the artificial turf, and people used to have to soak newspapers and put them in their spikes so they wanted to stand in the outfield. So the first game there was an all-star game, and Casey Stengel with one of the greatest lines ever. They go, Mr. Stengel, how do you like the new stadium? And guess what he said, Kevin?
What did he say?
It holds the heat well.
It holds the heat well, yeah. That it did.
That thing, the new one at least is grass, right? I mean, and also, Kevin, what was that site you sent out? How long ago was it when you first started doing the show? About the most sanitary places in the league? Essentially,
I vaguely remember that. Yeah, how germy are different ballparks? Wrigley Field was, of course, near the bottom of the list.
And it had to do, Jan and Greg, and listeners, with how many people who went to the bathroom washed their hands. In Busch Stadium, because they were so, you basically, to not wash your hands after using the urinal, you had to walk by so many sinks that were always open. It made you feel guilty. So even the brand new parks, a higher percentage of people, like 90-some percent, wash their hands, and like at Wrigley Field, it's like 20 or something, because there's like three crummy things, and nobody even bothers to go near them.
One of the things that they don't understand, because I complain about this at Notre Dame all the time, is they don't understand load balancing. So like in the basketball arena, you go in there and they'll have like six sinks. Four blowers and no towel dispensers, so they want you to blow dry your hands. Well, you think of how long it takes, and then they'll have a whole row of places to pee. Well, think of how long it takes to pee, how long does it take to wash your hands, and then how long does it take to blow dry them? You should have way more, you should probably be 2-1 on the blow dryers versus the sinks, because otherwise, you're just discouraging people.
I've seen 10 sinks.
Don't bother. You're going to have to wait around for this.
I've seen 10 sinks and 2 blow dryers. You're right. How does that work? Anyway.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to sign off for today, but I'll be catching Kevin, the podcast later.
So. John, take care of yourself. Kevin, we're going to switch over. Do we have Jimmy?
We will in a little bit.
Kevin, we're going to head off to Mr. Jim Waller. Obviously, we're going to keep talking about this subject as it goes down this week, and Kevin will be back on Wednesday. Kevin, we're going to talk with Jimmy a little bit about this taxation, the increase in the county tax bills, seemingly the worst in areas we're least afford to pay them. And Jimmy was coming on. He's been on once before. He's in the distressed mortgage business and how the way the liens go, and most people don't know this. I didn't until I got to know Jimmy. There's a whole pecking order of who has to pay these taxes. So if you're in the, like Fannie and Freddie don't quite get it, but they just got a big problem. If all these people walk, or half of them walk, Fannie and Freddie's paying these taxes. We're also going to lose the place. But Jim will go through all that. I mean, it's really, Kevin, can you think of anything off the top of your head as to why you would send out tax bills like that to people you know can't pay them?
Well, it could be the same thing as the decision you made on pricing. And look, if you really want to redevelop an area and you've got people waiting in the wings, even if it takes them several years to buy up enough properties to do it, one way to do it is go ahead and tax the crap out of people, make sure that they, that they can't pay it, and then start foreclosing on properties. Maybe it's just a modern day urban renewal.
We have Jimmy. Okay, after he just texted me to send him the link. Okay, well, Kevin, right. Thank you.
No sweat. I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Yeah, Jimmy, you with us?
Yes, I am.
You're a little loud, but Matt will tone you down. We've been prepping you all morning here about all the stuff you're going to teach us. I find this, the more I think about it, the more incredible I think it is. And the thing that has me concerned about it, you heard this story. I mean, Audrey had some people. She was selling a house out in Chicago Heights. And Chicago Heights is becoming very economically deprived, I'll say. And one of the issues is, I think, didn't they have a couple of big malls out there, Jimmy, and a bunch of restaurants and stuff, and they all sort of closed? And so the commercial part has really dropped off, because Chicago Heights used to be fairly industrial. And now you're talking about all these other areas, Posen and Crestwood and all these kind of places. And they're really not doing very well economically. And she was, I said, you're not going out there by yourself. Not that I don't have an AR-15. But I'm parked out there. She went once on her own, and she parked in the driveway for like 5 minutes, and somebody stole the ornament off her truck or off her Cadillac. So that wasn't a very good trip. Anyway, so I take her out there, and it looks like rural Mississippi, for God's sake. Not any disparagement to rural Mississippi, but the houses are $60,000 or so. And she goes, you know, these taxes are like $6,000. And I said, wait a minute. How can a tax bill be? Jimmy, if you got a $60,000 house, what's the mortgage? $300 or something? I could look for it. So, I mean, the tax bill is way more than the mortgage, right? So, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So then all of a sudden, you know, those tax bills went up like 25%. And I'm thinking, these people can't pay this. But Jimmy, if you could, take us from the top. I get a mortgage. I buy a house there or anywhere. Whoever I get the mortgage from is going to sell the mortgage eventually or soon to Fannie and Freddie, probably. Or VA or somebody, depending on the person. Now, all of a sudden, they hire somebody to do the servicing. So you're not writing the check to Fannie and Freddie. You're writing the check to whatever. It could still be Citi, could be anybody, right?
Correct.
So they're now, and they're going to put up, especially if the tax are that high, I'm going to have an escrow account at the bank, right? And if I, like Nancy was saying last week, if you get this sudden shock in the taxes, not only do I have to pay for that difference, now my escrow every month is going to start to go up, where I got to pay, essentially it's double. It's what I didn't escrow for last 6 months, and now I got to double up for next 6 months because they think it's going to be high. So that money is at the bank. But if I just decide I can't pay this and I walk, take us what happens. I mean, because the tax lien is the first lien, right?
It can be, yes. It would be a municipal lien or a government lien, and that supersedes my lien. That's correct. Typically, what would happen is, if you don't have more than 20% down, you do have to escrow. Escrow rules or laws say I am allowed a 2-month reserve because I can't control what put down in charges and taxes. So what would happen is, and I did some research last night, that, for example, in January of this year, Cook County auctioned off the taxes for 2020 that were due in 2021, because we're always a year behind. The rules are, once they're auctioned, you can buy them at auction. So let's say, in your example, the person owes $6,000 or $60,000 house. I come in, I'm an ABC or an individual, I pay the taxes. In a sense, I'm buying the lien on it. I have to wait 2.5 years before I can foreclose. But still, if I'm buying something for a tenth of what it's worth, I'll wait the 2.5 years. The redemption period is 2.5 years. I can charge anywhere from 0.75 to 1.25% per month for someone who wants to redeem the taxes. So I can make money on these types of deals.
Jimmy, is there a place where this happens, this auction? Is there an auction spot where it happens once a month, where if I go there I can bid in one of these things?
No, it looks like it is once a month. It's like once a year.
Okay.
But you can, I guess it's 185 North Clark in Chicago. That's where you dispute or talk about a redemption of property tax. Now, in regards to what you're talking about, these people want to fight. There are two ways. There are three ways, actually. One, obviously, would take the bankruptcy route. Two would be hire an attorney or have a firm that usually does it on contingency. Or three, you could go and fight it yourself in court at Cook County.
But I'm saying, where does the auction? Is there a place where you and I could go with our checkbook and buy five properties, or is that a closed group?
That is a good question. It doesn't answer that at Marine Capital's website. It says that there's an auction hub. I think it's done over the phone or electronically, but it's held during the month of, the last one was held in January this year, over a couple of days.
Okay, so yeah, so one of the guys used to be the locker room attendant up at the Buckinghams years ago. He bought a place in Inglewood, and you know, it was in the 60s, and he's living there, and all of a sudden the taxes went up and something else happened, and they wanted him to replace his lead water pipes or something, and they wanted to hit him up with $5,000 or $6,000 for that, and next day he's just gone. Now, that mortgage, somebody had to eat that, right? I mean, it's sort of the same thing. And what do you do? Just find out there's nobody living there and no return, no forwarding address? I mean, what happens if like 40% of the people, you know, they're not going to walk tomorrow, but somewhere along the line, is Fannie and Freddie end up with that bill, Jimmy, or do they not pay it and just let it go to auction?
They could. Typically, you don't. The other problem that you run into, which I was looking into, is just that sometimes the servicers have the wrong PIN numbers, the property identification numbers. You could be off by a digit or two, which means you're paying the wrong property, you're paying the wrong taxes on a property you might not even have a lien on.
Well, what, I mean, if the place is worth 65 and there's people living there with the taxes at 6, and all of a sudden the taxes are 8, how do you even know how much the place is worth? I mean, what's it worth now, 40?
You don't, that's the thing. The county is only estimating. The only time the county ever knows what a place is worth is when it gets sold.
Well, what is, what is your, the people who want to go buy 50 of these houses, I mean, who's doing that? Does somebody have, like, let's put it this way. I don't have the 200-year horizon. Who the hell would want to buy 500 properties in Chicago Heights or Posen or Midlothian or something? Midlothian's not bad, but now some of these Crestwood and places, a lot of Crestwood isn't bad either. So, but I'm saying, who would want to own this stuff? What view do you have to have of the city to want to own, you know, 5 square blocks in Chicago Heights or, you know, Posen or someplace? I mean, you think all of a sudden 50 years from now, there's going to be some huge university or some biotech thing done? I mean, who would want all that?
It could be. I mean, like I said, if you buy it, you could.
Jimmy, why don't you back up on your mic a bit? You're way up. You're too close to the mic.
I don't have a mic. I'm on my earbuds.
Well, that's. Yeah, we can barely. Are you talking into the phone, or what are you doing?
Well, I'm talking into my earbuds. You want me?
Yeah, why don't you go to the phone?
I'll go to the phone. Hold on.
All right. These earbuds. You can't trust them. Eddie, what do you think?
I don't know.
Jimmy's supposed to be Mr. High Tech, you know? Anyway, yeah, this idea that we're going to lose the downtown area, we're going to lose all this business and everything, and we're just going to add it to other people's stuff and send
it
out.
Is that better?
Yes, a little bit. I mean, Jimmy, what, think of the idea that we're just going to, you know, Lincoln Mall closes. Okay, we used to get like, you know, $2 million in taxes there. Well, let's just sprinkle them around everybody else. They'll pay. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No, it doesn't, but what I gather is that a lot of these people are doing it for hoping people are going to redeem them, because I can charge you interest per month, you know, and make some money on the deal.
But now, if I buy this house, do I have to physically boot them out 2 years from now? I don't want to do that.
Well, no, you don't have to. You can't physically boot someone out. The only people that could do that is the county sheriff's department. I could foreclose on you, but then I do not have permission to move any personal items. Only the county sheriffs can do that.
All right, so if I go to this auction, if I can find out where it is and if I get let in, you come with me, and we write a check, and all of a sudden we get these houses for the $8,000 tax. All of a sudden we own 50 houses in these five square blocks. Now what do? We wait 2.5 years, and people are still living there. Now they probably stop sending their mortgage payment in. Now what happened? What about the second lien? The second lien's gone, and we own these places?
You got it.
Now what do we? Now what do? We get some army regiment to boot everybody out, or what?
Well, at that point, if you want to boot people out, yes, it's going to cost you, because the county sheriff's department is going to charge you a fee to do that.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
How much?
that I don't know, but I do know from, you know, my current position within that industry, you have to wait, and sometimes you have to wait until they have to give you a date. So it might be another 30 days, another 60 days before the sheriff's department has a date that they can go out and do it.
All right, so now in the 2.5 years, there's not going to be anything spent on maintenance. I can't imagine.
No, I don't have to. But the mortgage company doesn't want to get wiped out again, but like I said before, the people can fight, and the obvious one is you have the wrong tax ID number.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's like a 16-digit number. If you have one or two digits off, you might have the wrong property, and trust me, in my business, we have run into it that we were paying taxes because that mortgage was sold so many times that someone made a mistake on the property identification number.
Well, I'm going to go back to a real long time ago, Jimmy, in Evergreen Park, where we live, where I grew up. Every year, there would be an issue of the Southtown Economist or the Suburbanite Economist that would come out, and it would be this big, thick paper, and everybody's address was on there with everybody's tax bill. So you could essentially police it yourself. To a certain extent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would get ours, and for some reason, we only had they split a property and got some kind of a variance, right? So our lot was 37.5 feet, and everybody else on the block was 40 feet. And we didn't have a garage, and let's say half the people did, and a couple of them had finished basements. So you could sit there and say, okay, our tax bill is $1,500. The guy next door, he doesn't have a garage. It's a bungalow just like ours. His is, you know, 1580 because he's got 2.5 more feet. You could pretty much go down the list, and they really matched up. There was never anybody who, you know, all of a sudden, you know, 1,500, like 500 or something like that. I mean, it was right there out for public domain in the newspaper. And, you know, everybody in those days, everybody picked up, let's see how much this guy's paying. And then somebody goes, ah, he's paying 200 less than me. Yeah, that's right. His lot is a little bit of this. And by the way, you know, something. You could pretty much go through it. And I think everybody pretty much agreed relatively who was where. Where is that? I mean, is that available online someplace now? Not available? I think the problem in what areas we're talking about, I mean, you're right, how you would appeal such a thing. But if they take a whole area and just up the whole area 25%, what's your appeal? That they shouldn't have raised the... I mean, you're on a relative basis, you're fine, right?
Yeah. You can go to the Cook County Assessor's Office. If you have the property ID numbers or the street address, you can look up people's taxes. That is all public information.
Oh, it is? I mean, it always was. We used to get a newspaper. We're all in there. Way before
internet. I don't know if the newspapers do it anymore. That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, I don't think there's a Suburbanite Economist, so they don't do it.
Probably the Trib and this. What I do know is if you're delinquent, they are published in the newspapers. Where? I don't know. You can go to the county site and also find out who's delinquent.
We had a client, and it wasn't like a client didn't pay or anything like that. There's a lot of people, if you want to give notice, people give notice in like some Evanston paper that nobody ever reads, as long as you gave the notice. It's kind of weird how that all works. There'll be a lien section in the Tribune every day, right? The classifieds?
Yeah, it would probably be the same like on foreclosures. If you're going to foreclose, you have, before sale date, you have to put it in the paper for 30 days.
That's pretty much
standard in all states.
And what do you do if you're the municipality, though, and you sit there and go, well, I know these people can't really afford the six. Let's just, can you plan your next year on getting these $8,000 checks? I mean, I hope the city is not planning on getting 5 years ago taxes from these downtown buildings, because how are they going to write that check when their places are half full?
That's a good question. And by the way, on commercial properties, the rescission period is only 6 months.
Okay, so, but the downtown, like if you have one of these places that, you know, was worth $120 million 5 years ago, and now it just went for sale at $40 million. Somewhere involved in there is going to be a tax appeal, right? Saying, hey, look, the place is worth this. I can't pay this.
Oh, yeah.
But for somebody in a regular house where the whole area just went up, I mean, in our area, even Jimmy lives close to me, our area just went up, but what's there to appeal? Everybody's went up 20%.
Well, said before, I mean, there are law firms who just specialize in it, and they will send you out. They you know, you talk about the economic numbers. These people know the numbers before they're even published, these firms, and they go out, and they used to know Joe Berrios, and they tell you, hey, Cook County is reassessing your area. We're ready for you. They go on contingency. If we can't drop your taxes, you don't owe us anything. And it's a game.
Well, Joe Berrios, you know, was real. That's a Illinois is the champion state of part-time jobs. The head of tax appeals, that's a part-time job. You know, his main job is a lobbyist in Springfield.
Exactly. I mean, that's what these firms do. If they know who within that area, you know, in the assessor's office. Use a good contact. They have an idea of what areas are going to go, and they'll fight it.
Jimmy, what the
I guess the process is, geez, very simple. If I raise taxes by 10%, I know most people aren't going to pay the 10%, right? But if I'm the county and I can get people to pay 8%, an increase of 8%, I'm happy. People think, well, you know, I cut my taxes at that point, like, you know, they were asking 10 and now I'm paying 8. Well, okay.
All right. How many states Well, the job Jimmy does, and I won't go into that, he has to know the mortgage laws in like all 50 states. How many states are you registered in, like 35 or something?
As a loan officer, I'm registered in 13 states, but we operate in all 50.
Okay. How much difference in there in the way, I'll use the word, people are treated, how quickly you can get people out? Does that vary by state to state, or is that pretty standard?
Absolutely.
Absolutely varies, or absolutely same?
It varies absolutely by state. The examples, the best example is like, if before the crisis, when you could get a mortgage just because you were alive, if you bought a place in New York, it would take forever to foreclose. They are very consumer friendly. In the state of Texas, I would add you out in less than 180 days.
So you're talking about people who just never paid a mortgage, or don't. I mean, just never even did.
You got it. What we had noticed was, like in New York, people weren't paying it, renting it out, just keeping the rent, and they would keep going until you basically took the property. So if it took you 5-6 years, that's 5-6 years of rent, of cash that I'm getting, and I'm not paying anything.
Well, can you sue these people in civil court saying you at least owe me the rent?
In the example of New York, first off, you have to go through mediation. So you have to go through the courts on that. You can hold that up for 3-4 years.
Well,
then you can say, hey, I got a new attorney. I need a continuance. You could, in New York, hold it up for 7-10 years.
Well, when you're talking about places where the rent's probably $5,000 and your mortgage is $5,000, it's real numbers.
Yeah, they are real numbers. So imagine just not paying anything and getting $5,000 a month for 10 years.
Why would anybody want to own something in New York? Or here, for that matter. I mean,
if you're playing that game, it's a cash flow. Remember, I mean, these people put down very little money, maybe 3.5-5% down, and now they've just decided, I'm not paying it, I'm just going to rent it out, I'll keep the rent money.
And they move somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, they don't live there.
How come I'm too straight to do anything like this? Do I just lack imagination or what? Or am I too straight?
Probably. I mean, if I could go back in time, yeah, probably I would. But no, I'm too straight myself. I mean, there are people that bought, two flats in New York, moved out years ago, and are just renting it, and you could go after them for the rent, but again, you have to go through the court.
So somebody like us, maybe not quite like us, and not like, I don't think any of our listeners, you buy a place, you say you're going to, you put some money down, you get a mortgage or a loan or whatever, you shake hands with everybody, you smile, you have a glass of beer afterward, and you never intend to send a check in ever. I can't even imagine that. Maybe that's why I'm not rich like some of these people in New York. I mean, so this is planned the whole way through, right?
In some cases, these people defaulted, figured out that they could move, that cat could rent it out, moved away, and just collected the rent.
But now the bank, even though they're not getting the mortgage, in order to keep their lien, they have to pay the taxes, right?
You got it.
So not only are they not getting a check, they have to pay the state.
They have to pay the taxing body,
or the county. You couldn't write fiction.
Otherwise, you could go to tax auction and I could lose.
Jimmy, you couldn't write fiction like this.
Nope.
And what is Fannie and Freddie? They don't come down on these people. Same people must be doing it over and over again. It can't be that widespread on the crooks.
I don't think it's as widespread as this. Again, as you have hinted, there are 50 states or 50 different laws in regards to when you can foreclose. The government lien being superseding all liens has always been on the book, meaning that not necessarily if I don't pay my property taxes, but if I don't pay the IRS can slap a lien on the property too. And believe me, I've seen it.
Well, after five years,
the IRS is more willing to negotiate. They don't want to be a landlord.
But how after 5 years, what does this place look like? Because you're not doing any maintenance. So what happens if the toilet?
Sometimes, Chief, these places look like war zones. The people have not done anything. Walls are rotting. And in some cases, they look very nice if they were renting it out. In some cases, the renters trashed the place.
That's unreal. Well, Jimmy, thank you very much, buddy. I'm not so sure it's great news to hear, but it's illuminating. The whole idea of sending out bills to people that you can't pay, I don't know how you can do that, but that's just our government at work, eh? S&P futures up 20. What do you think of the market? Like nothing ever happened this weekend. I guess we should expect that, eh?
Chief, I don't know really what to think. You would have thought that this would shake some people's confidence, but right now it's buy.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Newton's third law to go into effect. What goes up has to go down at some point.
Well, if you're actually putting currency into the system, which seems like we are because the dollar's going down against every currency, right? Well, not against the yen because they're doing worse than we are. But we're going down every day against the...
Well, the Japanese are buying dollars. They're intervening. They're notorious. Yep. Being someone who was in the FX market, they're notorious for manipulation of the Fed.
What do you think, with 30 seconds or less, what's the long-term view of the Japanese when they have 2.5 times more debt than we do per GDP, and their population is decreasing? Nobody wants... We at least, which nobody likes, we at least have people want to immigrate in here, and we let some in. I'm not saying that's the... I want to get in that discussion, but they don't... Nobody moves to Japan, and they can't keep their birth rate up. How the hell are they going to pay this off? Or am I missing something?
That's a good question, but they buy their own debt. And
yeah.
They sell a lot of debt to other places.
Well, you print money and you buy your own debt. Yeah, it's just, they buy their own stocks,
but
too.
They do have immigration, but nowhere like us. That's true.
You ever heard of anybody moving to Japan? I mean, there's no...
Yeah, I have a buddy that has been over there 25 years. He has an English school over there.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks,
he does the reverse thing. He borrows in Japan and buys U.S. Treasuries because he's borrowing at under 1% and the Treasuries are paying 2 to 3%.
Well, that's what people did in 2007, right? You borrowed money over there and you bought mortgages here.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
So far, so good. I mean, they
2007? Not so good.
Not it was lousy here, but I mean, for him, they just raised the rates to like 1%.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, can a regular person get a blown? I mean, here it got down to 2%, but you and I weren't paying 2%. The credit cards are 20.
That's true.
In Japan, can a regular person get it that cheap?
A Japanese citizen can, yes.
Really? All right, bud. You take care of yourself. Hopefully, I'll see you this week. SP Futures up 24, NASDAQ Futures up 104. We're going to break. We should have Audrey Johnson. We come back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now. 800-388-4901. That's 800-388-4901. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-388-4901.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Low and roll based stocks and jocks. I'm time out. Matt Byrne on the board. SP Futures up 24, and NASDAQ Futures up 96. And the most individual stocks moving. We got Apple moving up 440. It's almost 2%. We've got Goldman Sachs up 4. They hit earnings, I believe. And we've got United Healthcare up 949. So the Dow's up like 200. Because don't forget, that's like almost 7 points a multiplier there over in Europe. The other way here, we got the DAX down 94. It's 0.5%. FTSE down 32.4%. CAC around down 58.8. So they're exactly the opposite direction. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 1,000 points, 2.4%. Still pretty high, though, 41,190. Hang Seng down 277, 1.5%, hanging over 18,000, 18,015. Shanghai up 2. Shanghai's been not doing anything. It's in this high 2,900 number. Can't seem to want to get back to 3,000. Very strange how quiet that's been. On Friday, we were up. Dow was up 247, S&P up 30, NASDAQ up 115, but we were up a lot more than that, by 230, and then all of a sudden we kind of gave a bunch of it back, but still was an up day. Bonds up 5 basis points now, 2.4.24. The Bund unchanged, 2.50. Japan down 3 basis points, 1.05. A lot of this has to do with the way the dollar is moving around. We'll talk about that in a second. Oil down 19 cents, 82.02. Brent down 16 cents, 83.87. Natural gas down 10 cents, 232. RBOB down 2 cents, 249. Gold up a little bit, very little bit, up 20 cents, 24.20, trying to hang in over this 2,400. Silver was over $31, but it has trouble staying there. It's down 25 cents, 30.90. Copper down 3 cents, 4.55. We've got crypto, big rally here to 2,800, a Bitcoin up 5%, 62,808. We have the foreign exchange, like we're talking about here, the dollar, euro is up to over 109. And the British pound is up 129. It's almost making it to 130, which should be a lot higher than it's been in a while. Japanese yen, however, is they're down to 158. So even those guys are getting stronger versus the dollar. So the Fed's doing something here, and they're not telling us. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's currently 7:38 on July 15th, 2024. The weather in Chicago is 70 degrees this morning, humid with some sunshine today, with a high of 90 degrees today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms throughout the area. Down in Phoenix, 88 degrees right now. Expect sunny skies today and a high of 108 degrees, low of 87. In the MLB yesterday, White Sox lost to Pittsburgh Pirates 9-4, and Cubs won against the St. Louis Cardinals. Final score was 8-3. Tonight, the Home Run Derby, part of the MLB All-Star Week. The competition starts at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
We have Odd?
We do indeed.
Hey, Odd, how are you?
Good morning, just fine. It's a beautiful day after that storm last night.
All kinds of busted up branches on the street when I pulled out this morning. Must have
yeah,
had some,
well, at least the grass is green. That's good.
Well, yeah. But it was some pretty nasty winds. A lot of there was a Lakeshore Drive was blocked by a tree down this morning.
Where did that come from? Fall off some high rise?
No, it just fell. Hey, you and Nance have been talking about this forever. With the mortgage rates and stuff, homeowners are feeling stuck. There's an article here by Alex Herring. You must be listening to you two lovely ladies. High home prices and current mortgage rates have created a chilling effect on the housing market, stymieing aspiring first-time buyers and those looking to move. Affordability has tumbled compared with just a few years ago, requiring people to shift expectations about what the path to homeownership looks like. This adds to economic woes felt by the average person and challenges a key component of the American dream. You and Nancy could have written that, eh?
Yeah, you know, I actually did read that article. That was just very obvious and simplistic, but that's just me. It's just anybody who buys and sells anything, groceries, food, houses, autos, it's just too little going around and, you know, not enough of the pie. So, you know, the whole thing, when you take interest rates from 3% to 7.5%. What did you think was going to happen to the economy?
Yeah.
You know, well, what did you think when you're in that fast of a fashion? You left people in a whirlwind, you know, and they're shocked that people are just being shut out and have no money for anything. Because, of course, as we taught, that 7% translates into construction jobs and rehab jobs and visits to Home Depot and Lowe's or whatever and projects to fix because, like anything else, everything else is also becoming more unaffordable. So it's harder for people to fix. It's harder for people to buy. Life is tough for people pretty much all the way. If you haven't just had a big stock portfolio or ridden that to the sky, that you're just the average person. You're having a pretty tough life right now.
Well, do you think, looking back on it, and, you know, nobody's more capable of making this, would we have been better off, the economy, would we have been better off if rates never went to 3%, if they just would have, did we misprice stuff enough at 3% to where now people can't afford it at 7% the same place?
Yeah, not because they couldn't afford it. I think if things would have hovered in the 4-6, even 5-6 range, the dramatic lowering of interest rates upset the apple cart and created a scramble to buy. It already, when things were good, housing were in short supply. I mean, it has been a constant fight to find buyers a home for the past 3 years, and it's just been steadily worsening since then. I mean, since the pandemic, people wanted houses. They wanted to get out of the city. They didn't want, you know, it fueled the fire, and then they raised the interest rates, but the desire to buy was still there. And now everything is just, the squeeze is terrible. The squeeze is terrible for people.
Matt, I just sent you an article here by Gabriel Cortez and Alex Herring. If you can throw this one out there. It has to do with the housing market explained in 6 charts. And they're pretty good. I sent this to you last night on it. You know, it takes the 30-year fixed rate. It appears the low was in January 7th of 2021. Oh, it got down to 265. Well, I never thought it got below 3. Shows you how much I didn't know. You and Nancy.
Kathy had a 2.38 mortgage.
Wow. So it actually dipped below to 265 for a little bit, right?
Yeah, like for 2 days, you know, and some people caught it.
Wow.
So the thing is, you know, that was, I think that in a way, I think that was wrong. Again, you know, trying to accomplish a policy with playing with people's lives, which I think is what the Fed does sometimes. Lowered expectations of basically free money fueled the initial price rise. So, you know, that, in my opinion, is you look back and that's what happened. It set up the fact that everybody wanted to buy a house, but then the prices accelerated.
What they used to say on MTV, you had money for nothing and your chicks for free.
There you go.
I got that one,
Gene. Party animal, you.
Yeah. It was always a party animal. But anyway, we're up to, we tapped out, according to this chart, and you're going to tell me it's wrong a little bit, but we got tapped out at 779, 23rd of October last year, and now we're at 6.89. Does that sound right?
We're perfect cases. I still see things going 7.5 around here.
Okay.
It depends. I mean, they literally fluctuate daily, and people who are working with mortgage brokers who really do try to do, I think, their best job to get you the best rate, they'll do the same thing almost like a trader does, sit there and watch the rates bounce and bounce and bounce, which they do just like a trading graph, and then all of a sudden, bam, they'll try and lock you in at the best price for the day.
Well, the Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index, which isn't the same, I don't think, as housing prices, right? It's their index number.
Yeah.
In 2020, right before the pandemic, it was at like 213, and now it's at 320. So it's got housing prices up roughly 50% in that period of time, which matches up to just about everything else you see, right? Except for the CPI, which has it up, what, like 20 or something?
Oh, that's such a contrived index. Take out food and energy. Sure, we're all doing great. Okay, what else is there for most people?
Well, if you mess with the housing number and you mess with the medical care number, you pretty much blow the whole index, and that's what they've been messing with, in one man's opinion, for what, 20 years? I mean,
medical care is so far off the charts that a lot of mortgage people, a lot of people have medical bills they're never going to be able to pay.
When you start messing with it.
And it's so predominant that a lot of companies now don't really factor your medical bills into it.
Well, Lord, I know I'm only 25 years old, but I can remember back in the day we actually could trust the CPI, and nobody had a bitch with it when I was working for Pullman. That was what everybody used for escalation clauses.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said you could use the CPI is for escalation clauses and contracts and everything else.
I'm losing you. Sorry.
CPI was something you could believe in. I mean, nobody, when I used to do this stuff for Pullman, and they'd say, oh, the CPI was up 1% that month, nobody wouldn't say, oh man, it was up 2. I mean, I'm sure you could have split hairs on it, but it was pretty accurate. And now I don't think, God, what if you and I got in the home building in 2020 and had a CPI as our escalation clause? We'd be out of business, wouldn't we?
Yep.
What is this thing, this NAR, House Affordability Index? Who are these guys?
But you know, it's just that is even home builders are doing great right now because they've got a new product that they can supply people. So actually, home builders out here are doing pretty well right now.
You're the National Association of Realtors, right? That's your group. I'm not going to get started on that, but there's a chart here that you guys put out. It's called the Housing Affordability Index. And this one, in 2020, they had it at 180, 179, and now it's 93. That's a move. When you have housing prices
it's a huge move. It's been a huge move, and it's been since the pandemic where we're seeing 20% increases, a quarter or at least a year. So the prices went up, but the additional problem with prices going up is that you've taken the people who could afford a $400,000 house, let's say $350,000, which is almost entry level nowadays, and you've taken the people who want to buy a $550,000 house. Well, the interest rates have squeezed the $550,000 people back down to maybe the $350,000 level because of the interest rates and the price. So they can't afford what they really want. So you almost have twice as many people fighting for the same narrower range. It's bumped people down to less, to their, it's lessened their expectations, their aspirations, and now they're clogging up another channel of lower priced houses.
So the person who, the group, let me try and understand what you just
said. Like your first-time buyer now has competitions where maybe the people who had a house but now have had another child and maybe have a parent coming to live with them and they could afford to buy a house that was maybe $200,000 more than they thought that they owe. But now you take that interest rate and it negates their gain on the house that they owned. So they're really kind of trapped. And if they're going to try and look for something at that lower price level. So you're just getting more and more people on the same one-lane highway instead of letting them travel three or four lanes like it was before.
So you're saying if the people who...
There was something for everybody. There almost isn't now.
That's interesting. You're saying that people who probably should be in the 500 bid range, if their interest rates were back down at 4 and now that they're 7, they're in the 350 range where all the first-time people are, so everybody's in the same spot.
Right. You're all fighting over the same bone.
And the ones, and the people who have the 550 house still think it's actually worth it there. We're having trouble selling it.
No, not at all. Because there is a bunch of money, people with okay. a bunch of money. But you're channeling a certain chunk out. So the people who are buying the 500 property are the ones who can't buy the 700 now.
All right, this next chart, and this is what Nancy talks about kind of more than you, but obviously you're involved with it since you're doing the sale. Share of income needed to own a median-priced U.S. home. In 2020, in July of 2020, that's during the pandemic, but even before that, it was roughly 29% of the average person's income went for the average priced home. And it topped out at 45 in October, and now it's 43. I don't know, with taxes going up and stuff, how the hell can you take 43% of your income just for your mortgage? That's high.
Well, the point is you have to live somewhere. And yeah. It's more expensive in many places to rent an apartment than it is to buy something. I mean, if you're going to rent a townhouse for $3,500 a month and you could buy it for $2,800 a month.
Yeah.
That's where you're at. The rental market is also unbelievably tight.
Can people, can investment people get mortgages easy or... After Dodd-Frank, they
can't.
You
have to put more down. You have to put about 25% down to be an investor. So probably not. It's cutting out a lot of investor action, too, unless you're playing with a bunch of money already.
But, I mean, life for a family is a hell of a lot easier if it's 30% of your income is going for the house than 45%. It's not even close, is it?
Oh, for sure.
What, you mentioned, we have to do, we got to coin a phrase from Stocks and Jacks. And I keep describing what I'm talking about, and you and I obviously talk a lot. This inflation, I don't want to use the term hidden. It's almost like it's a shock value where people think they're okay, as long as they sort of are okay until something happens and then they're stunned, like a roof or I can't imagine. I mean, Miss Dog Lady. I mean, what do you suppose somebody who has a dog that's 4 and 5 years old, all of a sudden the damn dog gets sick and it's their first visit to the vet, they got to be absolutely starstruck at what that bill is.
Well, you know what? If, you're like me, no matter what the dog needed, I would come up with it. People throw it on their credit card. They take out a personal loan to do this because, a vet bill is just as high as a person's bill now.
But I'm saying everything... You've been on the show for a while, you would say that the new group of buyers, especially first time buyers, I mean, you've been on a while before COVID, you say a lot of these kids want the place in total move in condition. If you're an old fart, grumpy old fart, which I hope I'm not, you might debate that. Your first thing in your mind is, these kids don't
chew it on my tongue.
Yeah. I mean, you say, these kids don't want to do anything. They don't even know how to use a screwdriver. You can do that. But in fact, it's probably 95% that they're using their last nickel to cover the mortgage, and the last thing they need is they have to start fixing the place the minute they get there. I mean, I think it's more that than being lazy. Do you agree or not?
Well, people don't – it's not even so lazy as they don't have the skills. Yeah, it's not like the generations are so different. I mean, we grew up, both of us, in just a simple blue collar neighborhood, and our parents fixed their own house, or the neighbors pitched in, and your relatives helped you fix it. Always, people had a skill set. You passed on the carpentry. You passed on, how do you fix a broken, how do you fix a leaky sink? How do you fix a broken fence? We all grew up with that. I got a set of tools when I got my first condo. I mean, so it was just a learning skill, and so few people now have a skill to pass on. You didn't pay attention. If you didn't learn from a parent or a grandparent, nobody passed it on to this generation. So they don't know how to do it. Though I do see a lot more kids who want to learn.
I guess there's 2 points there. Is it? As you know, I'm doing, because we got some roof issues where I am, we're putting his deck back on. We got to take the deck off to fix the roof, not put the deck back in. And it's not, one thing is being able to do it. It's quite another. I did this for another deck we have. Was it 5 years ago? I'm saying the price has got to be 40% higher.
Absolutely. The price of everything is very, very expensive.
But in our generation, if you saw a house where the deck pretty much sucked, you and I might say, good, we're going to get the house for $2,000 less than we would have otherwise, because they know it's wrecked too. And guess what? You and I, and we're going to get a couple people to help us, 3 weekends, we got a new deck, and we made out of the deal. But now people will feel that way. They're going, okay, I'm buying this house. I got a crummy deck. First thing I do is hire 3 carpenters, and it's $10,000 for a new deck. I mean, it's kind of a different world. And they're not all wrong, is what I'm saying.
No. And what's really demoralizing people and bother them is that the American dream has, across the board, has diminished. It's become so... people don't see an opportunity for getting better, for things getting better. This grinding inflation and the prices, they're like, well, what am I saving for? What am I ever going to get? It's never going to get any better. And you have to show people of any age, not just the young people, all of us have forgotten how good life could be here. And we have to turn the ship around, because to live like this, people will end up just, to your point, where everybody is just hanging by a thread. They've got their credit cards run up, which, by the way, that these banks can charge 25-30% for interest rate, that's unconscionable. And the fact that all the crap that our government sticks their nose in where it doesn't belong, where are they now? You're still paying out 1.5% or 2% on savings, and you're gouging people for 30% for a credit card.
Well, the left and the right love to argue about this student loan issue. And, I get the part
about... Nobody should be given any loan forgiveness that you sign up for. Because, you know what? I don't think I want to pay for my house. So maybe, it was a bad decision. So I think you should just pay for my mortgage, too.
What I'm saying is it is amazingly debilitating for a whole lot of people. And what you just said about the interest rates, I'm not into let everybody go free on this, but the fact that we're charging these people 7.5% when Microsoft borrows at 2, we're scalping our own kids, for God's sake? I mean,
that's true, but I think you also, the guidance on getting a student loan, when you don't know what you're doing and you're going to end up with a degree in basket weaving, the counseling that people should have gotten, say, all right, are you going to be capable? What are you doing with this degree? Can you pay it back? So the counseling that should have gone with this, you shouldn't just sign a paper and get a student loan that you could use for anything. You don't have to use it for tuition. You go buy a car with it. If you don't spend your money what you're supposed to, you're just stuck with it.
What I'm saying is wherever the fault is, and I think the fault is college tuition is too damn high, but wherever the fault
that's
is,
true too.
Whatever the fault
it doesn't
is,
doesn't go to the teachers. It's going to the administration. Well, just like hospitals.
I'm saying wherever the fault is, there's an awful lot of 35-year-old people that, with the housing prices doing what you're describing, if you got some tag along student loan debt, you're not even close to getting a house. I mean, if you combine the two together.
Well, wow. You're going to have a whole generation that's going to be two generations living under a roof and hoping to inherit the parents' house when they kick off.
Or maybe they're going to push them over the edge, the parents.
That's right, especially if it's a high-rise where the tree is on Lakeshore Drive.
God. So what We only got a couple of minutes, and there's people building new stuff out in Orland. Is that stuff selling? It looks like it is, isn't it?
Mostly. A lot of these developments are sold out already. They're really clipping along. Because there's a certain class of people that only like new. They want new. And that's it's like the people who only buy a new car. Some people will only buy a new house. So there's apparently something for everybody, but there's more people like that than you would think.
Well, after living in a 110-year-old building and doing a lot of the remodeling, I could be coerced into something new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, when you're younger, you know, like, oh, I could do that. This will be so much fun. And then you're older, you're like, I've done that once. I'm not doing that again.
And you look at your deck and you go, how much for a gallon of seal? $60. How many gallons do I need? 15 or 20? Gee, that's a riot. It's mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's I don't know how you... I got to get the word for the inflation. It's not hidden. It's shock inflation or something. We got to come up with a great word here, Rod. We get Jan Flanagan. He's Mr. Word Guy.
Yes, he's very good at that. I think you have to give people a reason to hope and live again. It's a world problem, but it's a huge, it's a problem here also. So we have, you know, you can't go to the grocery store. I watch families in front of me at the checkout. And I see people now with fistful of coupons, which you haven't seen for years, or people putting stuff back. I look at things that I'm like, you know what? I'm not giving you $6 for a bag of potato chips, which is good anyway, that I don't eat them. But it's just it's unsustainable for people, because this is what's going to make the foreclosures kick up.
Yeah,
but people are at the end of their credit card. Even with two people working, and out of those two people working, somebody might have two jobs, so you got three jobs, and they're still not making it, and that's wrong.
We're in terms of movement direction in the area, is everybody still kind of moving southwest? I mean, the Irish people do, but what suburbs are?
You know what? You've got huge development all the way out to Shorewood. I mean, Shorewood is like Mokito was. 10, 15 years ago, Shorewood is beautiful. It's right up by the DuPage River. It's a great area, but that has...
Oh, you got to get a little closer to the mic. You're going in and out.
I'm having problems with my connection. I'm on top of it, but for some reason my internet, thank you AT&T, is acting up this morning.
Are people still fleeing to like Indiana and stuff like they were, or is that kind of stopped?
People are still going to Indiana, but there are no bargains anymore. They're as expensive as it is here.
Okay, so that's not helping. So that's evened out. I haven't heard anybody. Because even some of the states that people were dying to get to with the COVID and go live there, it seems like that sort of stopped too. That people want to move to Texas and work from home. A lot of that seems to have stopped too, doesn't it?
Prices are up across the board, and that's very true. Even in small towns, when you get 50 miles outside of Chicago, it used to be you could go in a little town and buy a house for 30, 40, 50, 60 grand. And either keep it for a weekend house or rent it out, and that ship has sailed.
All right, well, thank you, and have a nice week. Sell some stuff. S&P futures up 22, NASDAQ futures up 83. We were up more, but we're still up. We'll probably stay up. We'll see. We'll tell you all about it tomorrow. Matt, nice job with all the people coming in and out. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
Time to time, everyone goes bust. You'll be back in the game before you know it.